Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cheese and Pickle.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights. Hello, I'm Julia Rayside. Each episode, my guest chooses a favourite TV memory to talk about. Joining me today is the writer and broadcaster, Sally Hughes. Sally, welcome.
Hello.
Hi. So what have you brought for me today?
I have brought the scene in The Sopranos in which Christopher experiences his intervention. So he walks into the room and everyone is there. Carmela is there, Silvio is there, Paulie Walnuts is there, Tony himself is there, Adriana. They're all sitting around to tell him that enough is enough.
Yeah.
His heroin addiction is out of control. He's become a truly terrible person and he needs to go into rehab. And there's a therapist there who's orchestrated the whole thing.
Christopher, we're here to talk about your drug problem.
What? Jesus Christ, you fucking kidding me?
Sorry, baby, please.
No, fuck this shit.
You've been told once. Now sit down. Sit down.
And it's brilliant. And so they all, one by one, have to tell Christopher why he needs to seek rehabilitation.
And they've all written it down on a piece of paper so they can sort of rather stiltedly read
themselves
it through.
The script, exactly. And Christopher, at this point, Christopher doesn't really know that everyone knows he has a heroin addiction. And I imagine you've seen The Sopranos in its entirety.
Sally, can I just stop you?
What the fuck?
See, her face has already gone.
So, are you joking?
I'm choosing this podcast to out myself to you as someone who's never watched a whole episode of The Sopranos. Do you want to leave? You can leave. You're absolutely
okay. Tell me
leave.
Why. I'm trying to keep an open mind.
Well, there's a lot of TV, and you look like you're going to kill me. There's a lot of TV out there, and when this came up, and all I heard was, I write about it for a living, so it was an avalanche of TV constantly coming at my face. And someone said it's about gangsters, and I was like, yeah, I'll come to it later. And then just other stuff came along, and then I didn't watch it like maybe for a year after everyone else started to rave about it, and I was like, oh, I must do that. And it just kept on being put off. And
I understand. I understand. I'm very bad for refusing to read hot books. So books that are massive, I never read them.
Me too.
It irritates me that I'm supposed to read them.
Yes.
And so I'm with you so far. Mm-hmm. However, what I would say about The Sopranos, as somebody who knows you very well,
yeah,
and knows how much you love television, it's not like those others.
No, I can see that already.
It's such a magnificent, beautifully written.
It's very delicate, isn't it?
It's so delicate. Okay, I happen to love the gangster genre. I adore The Godfather, adore Casino and Goodfellas and all of that.
Yeah.
However, it's not about that. It's about the choices we make
and
the relationships
comic.
We have.
I mean, this scene
hilarious.
That you've chosen. I was already starting to laugh just thinking about the dog.
Were you? Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's, well, just go on. So explain where we are with this scene.
So
it's an intervention.
Okay,
this guy is drugged up to the eyeballs.
So Christopher, who is Tony's favourite.
It's his son, right?
No,
a member of the family.
Yes, he's a member of the family. His son is called TJ, who's a child.
Oh, sorry. Okay, right, yeah.
So Christopher is kind of Tony's most trusted. He's not a goon. He's clever. He dreams of being a filmmaker.
Ah.
From the very beginning of The Sopranos, he is a heroin addict. We never see him not being a heroin addict, but it's very, very undercover. He doesn't know that anybody knows. And in fact, he knows that there's a good chance he'll be whacked if anyone finds out because, of course, not a safe pair of hands if you're strung out on gear.
He can't be trusted, yeah.
Yeah, so he hides it. He is in a relationship with a mole type called Adriana, who's brilliant.
She's a really good actor. My God, she's good.
She's so good. And so he's been keeping this deception going for some time, but of course he hasn't. People are picking up on things. He's become careless. He's played fast and loose. He's been letting down the team.
Yeah.
And so he walks into work one day, having dropped a few balls, and everyone is just sitting there waiting for him, including Tony, who, as much as he adores him and loves him, he fears him the most because Tony holds his life and career
in his hands. He's terrifying too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. and obviously so perfectly played by Gandolfini, yeah. who I'm still not over it.
No, me either. In fact, I can't believe I haven't watched this because of the amount of like lust I have for him. He's so gorgeous.
Oh my God. I mean, you would shag Tony, right?
Well, I mean, yes, I would definitely have, for sure.
So this entire scene is just magnificent. And I suppose I love it for so many reasons, kind of for the reason that I think your initial fear about The Sopranos was wrong, in that it's not really about being a gangster,
it's not about
relationships. It's about how we talk to the people we love and how little we tell them and how little we relate to them and everything. And it's brilliant and nuanced and delicately done in that way, but it's also howlingly funny.
It's really funny.
So when people are telling him all the things he did wrong, so there's Adriana's really upset because Christopher killed her dog.
Oh, God,
and the way he killed
awful.
Her dog was, she has this tiny little dog called Cosette.
I imagine it was quite a small dog.
It's a little dog called Cosette who...
So a character from Les Mis, another nice detail, like gangsters calling their dogs after. Brilliant Broadway
exactly.
shows.
She's had this dog since the beginning of the series. She carries this dog around in her kind of handbag and stuff. And he comes home one night and he's watching TV and he takes a load of smack and he gouges out and loses consciousness and doesn't realise he sat on the dog. He sat on Cosette. She comes in and this is how we get to the intervention, because she walks in and he's killed her beloved dog.
Christopher, I love you very much. My only dream is that we have a happy life together. The last few months, things have got very bad with us because of you using drugs all the time. You're high all the time, and I can't take it.
Be specific, hon.
When we first started going out, we made love all the time. Now, because of the drugs...
Jesus, is this fucking necessary?
Go ahead, Adriana.
You can no longer function as a man. Last week, when I came home to learn that you had killed our dog... That was the final straw.
Oh. You killed the dog. What'd you do that for?
It was an accident.
What was it, barking?
He sat on the wall. He was high.
And she's absolutely devastated about that. And it's funny because when she puts forward that testimony as part of the intervention...
It's the funniest thing.
Tony, who runs a murderous gangster family...
Yeah.
He's so angry and upset. Why did you kill the dog? He's so disgusted by it and gets quite emotional.
He does, yeah.
Because
for
him, that's brutal. That's such brutality and it's such a terrible thing to do. He's really angry about it, despite the fact that members of his gang have killed and raped and
God knows
maimed
what, yeah.
and all sorts of things and continue to do so after that moment.
It's the dog that gets him. Brilliant.
So there's that. Then she also says during her testimony that he can no longer perform as a man, which
That's
is a
right.
brilliant moment.
What a great choice of words as well.
It's so great. It's such a great euphemism because she's sort of, it's almost as though she doesn't want to humiliate him. But of course, it's the most humiliating thing you could ever say, especially to a gangster. And then we just get a flash of Paulie Walnut's face. Paulie being the kind of oldest guy in Tony's family, his face,
screamed,
he just
like,
glances at the others and you know that's banked for later for tearing into him. Carmela, Tony's wife, says that he was strung up at Tony's mother's funeral and we go around. But my favourite moment is Silvio. And Silvio, I think, is possibly my favourite character in The Sopranos.
He's a man of few words, isn't he? He's just economical with his words.
Yeah, and he's got that sort of ludicrous gangster lacquered haircut and he's, you know, a bit spatsy and a bit spivvy, unlike
He looks
the
extraordinary, sort of like a real set hairdo. It's a very unusual look.
Yeah, and of course, have you seen Van Zandt in real life? He wears a kind of headband and plays in Bruce Springsteen's band.
Oh, my
band.
God, really?
Yeah, no, he's like an ageing
rocker.
Wow,
ooh.
Kind of Haight-Ashbury type. Anyway, so Silvio, with his diamond stick pin and so on, intervenes and says...
When I came in to open up one morning, there you were with your head half in the toilet. Your hair was in the toilet water. Disgusting.
I told you I had the flu.
I said my piece, Chrissy.
Disgusting. And that's the end of his intervention. That's all he's
said,
got to say.
I said
say.
My piece, Chrissy. That's it. He shuts up. It is brilliant. It is a testament to the writing of the thing. And you're right. I have to watch it. God knows when I'm going to find the time.
I know.
Five series?
I know that you would love it.
Yeah.
I know that you would love it. Anyone would love it. I truly, truly believe, as somebody who would rather watch telly than literally anything else in life, I truly believe it's the greatest TV programme of all
time.
And
people keep saying that and it's driving me mad. So, you know, I'm going to have to just
give in. It's not Breaking Bad. It's not one of those hot shows that are just kind of cracky and you really want to see them. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's a masterpiece. It's such a beautiful character study.
That is my favourite kind of telly.
And I've watched it in its entirety twice and I still, every time I see new things about it and appreciate new things about it. It's just wonderful. Everyone should watch The Sopranos. Every single episode is far better than most good films.
Do you have a favourite episode?
Yes. So there's a brilliant episode called The Pine Barrens where we see Paulie and Christopher and they are broken down in the middle of woodland in freezing cold and it's a bottle episode. They're just trapped.
Oh, amazing.
They're just trapped in the
car
and they're dying of hypothermia and they find a bit of old carpet that they wrap around them. I think it was directed by Steve Buscemi, actually.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
And they are wrapped in these bits of old carpet and they have no food and Paulie starts eating sachets of condiments that he finds under a seat.
Nice.
For nutrition. It's so perfect. It's such a perfect episode. And if you went to the cinema and spent £25 on a night out and saw it, you would consider it a steal.
Amazing.
It's just amazing.
It was The Sopranos was when I think everyone started talking about TV as an equal to cinema. It suddenly became more ambitious, just
the sense
better
of
written,
scale.
Better everything.
Yeah, the sense of scale. It's so ambitious, as you say, and it's so epic and sprawling. And I truly believe, whether people love it as much as I do or not, I truly believe it's the best acting in a drama.
Yeah.
Of any drama.
Because they have
the ensemble is extraordinary.
Yeah, you're right, because with the epic scale of it, there's still a lot of focus on just their feelings, how they feel. And there's a lot of incredible, just communicating with eyes, acting, just, you know, there's a lot of really good stuff in the script, but the script is brilliant for leaving stuff out from the bit I've seen, just really good at letting the actors convey the emotions.
Yeah, there are certain partnerships within it. There's Tony and Christopher have very special moments together. Obviously, there's Tony and Dr. Melfi, his psychiatrist, which is the sort of anchor to the whole show.
Yeah.
It's Tony's therapy. That's the journey we're on.
Ah, okay.
It's about Tony's therapy and then we see the world around it. But Tony and Carmela's scenes as a married couple are just incredible. There's some magic, voodoo, cosmic telepathy shit going on between
them.
It's really incredible.
It makes it even harder to swallow the fact that years later, Edie Falco would, for a short time, date Nasty Nick from Big Brother. Do you remember that?
That was so mad.
The worlds colliding there was like, no, my brain
so
can't accept
mad.
This. It's really
I remember
fucking
that.
Weird.
God.
I know.
That was so peculiar, wasn't it?
Bit of a left field thing there. He must have just gone out to
that
LA
was like
or something.
Darius and Natasha Henstridge, wasn't it? That
yes,
was really
a very
weird.
Odd, you know, they never last. You know, those worlds cannot coexist. The one good thing is I've still got it all to watch, so that's nice. And two, I've still managed to avoid knowing what happens at the end. I don't know how it finishes and
great.
No one's told me and so I've actually got the whole thing to look forward to rather than, you know, a version of where I know something's
coming. I desperately want to discuss it with you because that in itself is a 6-hour conversation minimum.
Well, I've heard people, you know, glimpses of people talking about it and thought, I'm not going to listen, one day I will watch. And so I've managed to keep myself away from it. But no, I will. Thank you for bringing that because you may actually have just introduced me to my next box set obsession. I finally see that I need to watch this.
I think they are all on there. I think you can watch them in their entirety on Sky Atlantic if you've
really?
Got a Sky box.
Yeah,
I think, I think you can
Excellent.
Watch them all.
Excellent. Thank you so much for bringing that. Now, before you go, there is a box of delights in front of you. Will you please open the lid?
Airwolf or Street Hawk?
It's a tough one.
Okay, well, here's my Sopranos moment. I literally never have seen a single episode of either.
Dude, you had five brothers. What were you all doing?
I know. Well, four brothers, and I was raised very much as a boy.
Whatever.
We watched The A-Team, we watched that kind of stuff, but no.
No Street Hawk or Airwolf?
No.
God damn it.
So I couldn't say.
All right, favourite member of The A-Team then.
Favourite member of The A-Team? Mr T. It's got to be Mr T,
obviously.
Surely.
Obviously, yes,
definitely. He's got the best look, he's got the jewellery, he's got the fear of flying.
He's me without the jewellery. I mean, you know what I mean. Thank you very much for coming. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find links to the YouTube clips from today's episode on our Twitter feed at Box Delights Pod. Come and say hello. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.